the GM live today at Bridgestone Arena. Preds and Montreal tonight at 7 o'clock. Pre-game is in less than 1 hour. Boy, I am just so in the need to watch the Preds go out there and just play a good game and play some Preds hockey and walk out of here with a 4-2 hard-fought victory. And I know I'm, you know, probably putting the cart before the horse, but, man, I just want to see a game like that tonight. Just get off the schneid.
Amen. I'm with you.
It's 5 o'clock on a Thursday, which means it's time for the people to talk to the GM.
The GM speaks.
A little bit of the personality.
Everybody listens.
They understand every situation.
And we're giving you exclusive access to Pick the Brain of former Titans GM Floyd Reese.
Brought to you by Pella Windows of Nashville.
Call 615-737-1025 now.
You're never going to make a mistake.
This is Ask the GM.
Ask the GM is presented by Pella Windows of Nashville. We got one line open at 615-737-1025, and you can get a pair of Dirks Bentley tickets with the best call for the GM. We start off with Chris, who's going to kick us off on college sports. Chris, go ahead. You're on with the GM, Floyd Reese.
Thanks for taking my call, guys. Well, I had a question that's been bothering me all week ever since Kyler Murray has declared for the draft, and hopefully with your experience you can help clear it up for me. In college, these guys can't take a side job without getting some kind of suspension from the NCAA. They can't sell memorabilia. They can't do anything to make any type of side money. So how is it that Kyler Murray can sign this contract or get drafted by the A, sign a contract for $1.5 million and still be eligible to play football? I don't see what the difference is. It's almost like a double standard.
You know,
thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. I think they passed a rule at a point in time where what you do in another sport doesn't reflect on the sport you're playing right now.
They did.
Yeah. So you can actually go out and be a professional in baseball, and that won't affect football. And that's true with the sports across the board. But I understand what you're saying. It does. There is no logic to it from the standpoint that, you know, you see guys getting suspended or getting in trouble for, parking ticket or for, one of the coaches giving him $10 so he can park his car or something, you know, along those lines. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. There's not a lot of logic to what the NCAA does, in my opinion.
So what's funny about that is, so the rule is, if you're basically in sports, you can't, in college sports, you can't make money off of who you are for what you are. So if you are a football player, you can't make money because you're a football player. Now, if your dad happens to own, you know, Jared Stillman Auto, and you work for me as my son, and I give you $500,000, that's okay because, you know, you're my son. But if you're not my son and you play football and I hire you because you played football and then I give you $500,000, that's against the rules.
Right.
I remember, like, I was dating a girl who was still playing basketball because she had a year where, like, she redshirted or whatever. So she was playing, and, I mean, I had already graduated from college, and they were like, yeah, like, if you, like say it's Valentine's Day, you wanted to buy her, like, a necklace, like, that's an NCAA thing right there. Like, wait a minute. But that's your girlfriend. Yeah, doesn't matter. It's weird, like, how the rules work in that stuff. And yet Kyler Murray can get $5 million to go play baseball.
There's no logic to it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Awful.
Sturgill is up next here on Ask the GM. Sturgill, you're on with the GM, Floyd Reese.
Hey, guys, and a happy Valentine's Day to you two.
You too, Sturgill.
My question for Floyd today is, how many wins do you think Pruitt and the Vols need next year to at least say it's been a successful year? I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Sturgill.
Good hearing from you, Sturgill. How many wins do the Vols need next year? I would say for them to really consider it a success, they would probably have to get 7 or 8 for them to really have a success. If they become bowl eligible, they're going to be, you know, they'll be fairly happy about that. But, I mean, this, they're a little bit impatient. And they go out and they win 5 or 6, and, you know, they won 5 this year, right?
Yes.
And so they go out and win six. I mean, I don't think that's going to float anybody's boat. But you start getting to 7 and 8, then I think you're probably showing marked improvement. And I would think that that most fans would be fairly happy about that,
so,
especially if you beat the right, you know, a couple of the big timers along the way.
So I just pulled up their schedule. They should have 5 for sure wins. Georgia State, BYU, Chattanooga, UAB, and Vanderbilt. All are home games. They should win those 5. Well, now you're at 5. Like, shouldn't you know? Florida, who knows? I mean, Florida recruited well, and I think they had a good end of the season last year.
Yeah.
Georgia, no. Mississippi State, I mean, you know, in Knoxville, question mark there. South Carolina, Knoxville should win that game. At Kentucky, who knows? At Missouri, they're not eligible for a bowl game. I mean, I think the Vols can win 8 or 9.
Mm.
Just off the top of my head.
And if they won 9, it'd definitely be a successful year.
Charlie is up next on Ask the GM, presented by Pella Windows of Nashville. Charlie, you're on with the GM, Floyd Reese.
Hey, guys. So, Floyd, I had a question for you that seems like it would be one that everyone would ask you, but I never really hung on to your opinion on it. What are your thoughts on Mariota being the starter going forward? And if you don't think he's our guy, where do you think we should look for our quarterback? Should it be in the draft or free agency? Because it's sure not going to be Blaine Gabbert. Anyway, that's all I had to say.
Thanks, Charlie.
I think this year is a giant year for Marcus. And this year will be kind of, whether we like it or not, kind of the telltale year. That is, at the end of this, you're going to have to go one direction or the other. And I think how he plays during this year will be, you know, the determining factor there. That being said, I think it's there are a couple things that could or should help you. And I think that is that you don't have as many holes to fill as you've had in the past. You know, I think if I look at this team, if you can adjust the interior of the line, if you could bring in pass rushers, if you could get a tight end or a receiver to come in and help, then you're in a position where you can go out and compete. And that being said, of course, your quarterback and how well he plays or leads you or, you know, whatever happens will be a giant factor there. So, you know, Marcus, it's going to be a big year for him, but it'll be a big year for the squad in total. And I think part of his year will be determined by how well this whole group plays together.
So, like, we kind of said that at the beginning of last year, though. Like, hey, this fourth year is a big year, and, you know, this will tell us a lot. And we're really in the exact same spot. The one difference I feel between the two is I feel like there's not going to be a gray area after. Like, right now we're in a gray area of, like, well, you know, he did some things well, but he had 11 touchdowns and got hurt in this last game of the year.
Yeah.
We're not going to have a gray area after this year. It's going to be black or white. It's going to be yes or
yeah,
no.
You're going to have to go one way or the other.
Chris is up next here on Ask the GM, presented by Pella Windows of Nashville. Chris, you're on with the GM.
Thank you for taking my call. And, Floyd, this is a question I've been wondering about for a long time. And we were both basically in the same eras when you were at UCLA. And the question is, when you were at UCLA, and did you all ever realize how special it was to win all those national championships that they did out there under John Wooden? I mean, you know, you look back on it now, and that was a phenomenal thing. And even then, the tournament was much tougher then than it was today because it was basically a Sweet 16 tournament. I'll listen off air if you could comment on it, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
You know what? I mean, we knew it was special. I'm not sure that we really knew how special. When I went there, that the school and especially the basketball program was so special. I mean, people, the varsity at that point in time, you had freshman teams and then varsity. The varsity team had just won the national championship. Prior to the season, the freshman team played the varsity team that had just won the national championship and beat them And that was with Alcindor and that whole group, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
They get
and,
it right.
Back then it was Lou. And they went on to go, you know, I don't even know, you know, they won, I think it was 8 or 9 in a row, you know. And, I mean, I can remember going to games. Like I said, I didn't hit every home game, but I hit probably 98% of them.
Which is amazing how much you hate basketball now.
Oh, I mean, you could not go. You know, it was so good. But I remember watching games, and if by probably midway through the second quarter, if we didn't have the opponent doubled, if the score wasn't if it wasn't 44-22, I was worried. I was thinking, oh my God, we could lose this game. You know, it was that we were that good. It was so special, and I'm not sure that you ever really appreciate those things. When I was a sophomore, we played for the national championship in the Rose Bowl, and we lost by a point. And I thought, you know, it's no big deal because we'll be here next year, and we'll be here my senior year, and we'll be fine. And we had good teams, but we certainly never got back to that position. So I'm not sure at the young age if you can really appreciate, you know, those kind of things as much as you appreciate them now.
It's funny you say that. When we were in St. Louis for the game this past weekend, it was the first time I had been to the Scottrade Center since we had played in the Final Four my freshman year of the women's basketball. And, like, just the memories of some of that stuff that came back to me just being there, you're like, man, that was 10 years ago, and, you know, you can go on and do whatever you want in life, but some things you just kind of took for granted at the time that you think back now, you're like, man, that was kind of cool. And my guess is that when you had John Wooden there and you won every game, that was probably pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, that was special.
Load them up. Give me another batch of calls for the GM. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Ask the GM is presented by Pella Windows of Nashville. And, again, on the line, a pair of tickets to Dierks Bentley on Friday, February 22nd, right here at Bridgestone Arena. Best call for the GM gets those. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 1025 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ask the GM, presented by Pella Windows of Nashville. We're live at Bridgestone Arena. Again, the best call for the GM. We're going to pair of tickets to Dierks Bentley on Friday, February 22nd at Bridgestone Arena. Ellie, you're up next. You're on with the GM, Floyd Reese, and you go ahead, Ellie.
Hey, good afternoon. Floyd, being a smart businessman, if you sponsored Matt Kuchar, the golfer, would you rescind that sponsorship after he declared himself to be a disgusting, ungrateful human being? Thank you very much.
That's great. You know what this is about.
I saw a headline, yeah. But I didn't.
He went out and won a contest. And I want to say he made like $1.25 million.
And he gave him $5,000 or whatever?
And he gave his caddy $5,000. And this is what he said. I have no idea what's true or not. He said the original proposal was you caddy for me a week and I'll pay you $3,000. Mm-hmm. He said, so then I won it. And he said, okay, I'll pay you $5,000. Or no, he said, I'll pay you $15,000. And the caddy said, no, that's too much. So he said, okay, I'll give you $5,000. Well, the word got out that he's made $1.25 and paid his caddy $5,000. And everybody is just up in arms about that.
How do you feel about that?
But that's – I don't know how they determine who pays what. But, I mean, if $5,000 is an agreed-upon term, I mean, that's easy for me. But I don't know. He said he offered to pay him $15,000, and the guy turned it down.
So apparently the going rate, according to this article I just pulled up, is 10%. That's the going rate customarily is to give the caddy 10%. So, for example, Billy Horschel won the FedEx Cup in 2015 and had a $10 million prize, and he gave his caddy, Micah Fugit $1 million because that was 10% of $10 million that he won.
Right. Is that his guy?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think those contracts. Now, I don't know. I act like I know what I'm talking about. I really don't. I just know what I read today. This guy was not his guy.
Right.
Like a fill-in guy. And so they just came up with an amount and said, okay, fine. But I don't know. If $10 million is the going rate, then and he's your guy, then I could understand paying him $10 million.
Okay, so if you sponsored him, what would you say to that? Like, if you were his sponsor, Bridgestone, I guess, is his sponsor, because I just pulled up the Golf Digest article.
Bridgestone.
And it's a picture of him with a Bridgestone cap and a Bridgestone shirt.
Uh-oh.
So there's a chance that the people who actually make the decision on sponsoring this guy are listening to Jared and the GM right now. There's probably a pretty good chance, because they're probably going from Bridgestone to the game tonight. So they're probably listening to Jared and the GM right now. So if you're listening and you're in charge of the Matt Kuchar decision with Bridgestone, hello. Floyd, what would you do if you were in that situation?
Well, I would have to say, if they're listening to me right now, that they made the exact right decision. And they should have paid. I have no idea.
Would you? The guy asked, would you fire him?
Now, again, I know one article. The article I read today made it sound like everybody's happy. I mean, the caddy wasn't mad.
Mm-hmm.
The caddy didn't come out and rip him or anything. The caddy was, oh, yeah, no, that's what we agreed upon. I understand why people could get angry. You know, you make $1 million.
No, I'm reading this right now. Apparently, according to Golf Digest, earlier in the week, and I am fascinated by this story. Earlier in the week, Ortiz, who's the caddy, Ortiz gave his side of the story to golf.com, telling Michael Bamberger that he felt taken advantage of by Kuchar and had reached out to Kuchar's agent to seek his proper due. Kuchar has now given his response, speaking to the Golf Channel about the incident. Quote, it's kind of too bad that it turned into a story. I really didn't think it was a story because we had an arrangement when I started, Kuchar told Golf Channel. I've done enough tournaments and had enough weekly caddies, and I'm very clear about what the payment will be. And we had an arrangement Tuesday that David was okay with, and I thought Sunday he was very much okay with it. I kind of feel like, unfortunately, some other people have gotten his head that he's deserving something different than what we agreed upon, and it's just too bad what it turned into a story, because it doesn't need to be. We had a great week.
So, I mean, again, I don't, it doesn't sound to me like anybody's angry, but I don't know.
Well, the caddy says he got taken advantage of.
Earlier in the week.
No, later in the week.
I mean, yeah, after Sunday. Sunday, he was fine.
So Tuesday, they said, okay, here's how much I'm going to pay you.
Sunday,
they win. It's like, hey, I'm going to give you a couple extra grand. Thank you, sir. That great job.
Yeah.
And now on this
and
week.
And then somebody says, is that all you got? You should have gotten this. Oh, well, I'm going to be mad then.
Yeah.
Too late. Sorry.
So you're on Kuchar's side. If they had an agreement, you believe that if they had an agreement, then the caddy shouldn't be complaining.
That would be my stand. If they had an agreement of $3,000 or whatever the amount was.
And he got $5,000.
And he got $5,000 on top of it, then, or got $5,000, then, you know, he should be happy.
I don't know. Only because I want to be different do I want to say, you know, he should write him a check for the such and such. But you know what? If you had an agreement, them's the breaks.
Yeah.
If he had come in last place, you wouldn't have asked
money. He wouldn't have said, okay, well, I only want, you know, $1,500.
Right.
Because we came in last place.
And so, you know what? Fine. Sold. Done. See ya. Finito. Take your money. Here you go. Goodbye. That's it. Now, you know what's going to happen is Kuchar's probably going to end up buying him a car or something. And that'll be like the, you know, oh, he bought him a Lamborghini, so now everybody should be happy. And I don't like it. I don't like it. Buy him a used Chevy Cruze. Not that there's anything wrong with Chevy Cruzes. We love Chevy Cruzes. They're great cars. But, you know, do that if you have to buy him a car. But don't buy him a car. Just, hey, just do it. Hey, double down, triple down. You know what, caller? I forget who even called about this. To that caller, I'm fine with Matt Kuchar not giving now. If I was Matt, I probably would have cut the guy a bigger check. After when it became a story, I probably would have called him and said, hey, here's $40,000. Be done with it. But it is kind of extortion, isn't it? Like, it's not extortion, but it kind of feels like it is. when now you're like pressuring by going to press.
And I've been around you.
You felt taken advantage
when it comes time to pull out the wallet. You are not quick to pull the wallet out.
Liar, you owe me $100.
If it came to, okay, here are your choices. You can pay him the $3,000 you owe him, or you can pay him $150,000. You would go with the $3,000. I promise you that.
Better, you say this because every time we go somewhere, you offer to pay, and I don't say no. But like every time, the second time I try to pay, you always get mad and don't let me pay.
That's my duty. That's my responsibility.
Every time I'm like, hey, let me get this one. You're like, no, I got it. So I'm trying to get my wallet out. And I'm trying to pay.
You know what? Have you heard the term? You heard the term alligator arms?
Yeah, I've seen the guy go.
You are the alligator arms. Can't quite get my hand to my wallet. Oh, I'm trying, but it just won't get there. That is you.
Ian, whose side do you take on this one? Because you know Floyd and you know me. Whenever we're somewhere, we go out to eat. Floyd takes the check every time. And I every time say, don't do it. And I try to do it, and he won't let me do it. And now he's telling me I'm being cheap.
Yeah, I can't blame Jared too much on that one.
Thank you, because you know that it's all Floyd's doing. You know what now? This is what I hate, is I have now already talked myself into like a $200 dinner tab that I'm picking up in Indianapolis.
Well, now I got freebies coming.
I guess I got that.
I'm going to be taking pictures.
There is this one dinner that I'm supposed to be invited to that I don't know if Floyd's going to invite me to, that Ian doesn't think Floyd's going to invite me to, but I'm hoping to make that dinner. Is there any chance I can make that dinner?
No.
Not one chance?
No.
Not even a little? No. Not like, hey, this is the guy I work with every day.
It won't even be a dinner. It won't even be a chat.
What will it be? Gives me like watch some film or something?
Oh, I don't know. Who knows?
And I can't come for that?
No.
So I'm going to be all by myself in Indianapolis.
No, you won't be by yourself.
And you're going to be...
You'll be with some of your cronies. I'll be with some of my cronies.
Oh,
that's the way it works.
Man. All right, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Coming up next, everybody tells me it kind of matters. And then they tell me it doesn't matter, revolving the Preds. I don't even know how to feel. And that includes a conversation I had with the coach today. We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102 about the game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
How important is the experience of this group the last couple of years to kind of, even going all the way back to the 2015 team, in terms of kind of getting everything dialed in as you go down the stretch?
I think it's important. There's been a million ways of teams going down the stretch and how they've done. Not always directly relates or correlates to how it goes in the playoffs. I do think that, given the choice, we would rather have some of the things on our team firing a bit better, and that always gives confidence. And I think when the confidence comes and you start to feel good about your game, the wins usually follow, and then that helps build the confidence. And as the playoffs push, to me, that can be a real positive.
So Peter Laviolette talked about, hey, the experience and all that, getting in there. And that, hey, it matters how they play down the stretch, yada, yada, yada. But then Peter said, along the same thought, hey, doesn't always matter how you play down the stretch going into the playoffs.
I've seen it go the other way as well. Teams that haven't, Washington had won the President's Trophy for a couple years in a row, and then it wasn't as clean for them during the regular season and ended up winning the Stanley Cup. So there's never a guarantee with it, but I do think there's some things that we need to continue to work on to try and push to get moving in the right direction, and I think that will help build confidence to our team.
Okay, so he brings up Washington last year. Hey, they never really got it rocking and rolling, and look what they did. They went and won the Stanley Cup. In fact, when they were down 2-0 to Columbus last year, I mean, I thought it was going to be like bedlam when they lost that series. And Barry Trotz was getting fired. And, they would just – I thought it was going to be bad. And then they won the cup. So who knows? And I think that's the interesting thing is like
– And he still got fired.
I know, right? Don't tell Preds fans that, though. They get mad. Apparently his contract just wasn't renewed and they didn't agree to an extension.
I think that happened to me.
You couldn't agree to an extension? Yeah, that's what it was. So I'm told on one hand, hey, What really matters is how they play down the stretch going into the playoffs. Then Peter brings up the, you know, hey, it didn't work that way for Washington last year, and look at them. Right. And, I mean, I look at tonight's game against Montreal, and I'm like, you know what? I want to see a good performance tonight. I want to see Preds hockey. I don't want to see a domination or a butt-kicking, although I'll take it. But I want to see a game where they go out there, and the word Crispy used earlier today was tenacious. And he's right. You know, when we feel good about this team is when they're on the attack, when they're not letting you post up in the D zone, when the goalie is making good saves, and there is a tenacity to this bunch when they're playing well. I want to see that. I want to see a good game tonight. I want to see them go out there and play the way that we know they're capable of playing and the way that they haven't been playing lately. And yet I'm like, how much does it really matter at this point? Because we all know what the end goal is.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how you look at it. I mean, again, I've never been one to not, but I believe that you go out, you play every game, and, you know, you mm-hmm. work your way through. I've never been through a hockey season as a player or a coach or anybody. So from that standpoint, it's got to be different. So you get into February and people lead you to believe it's February. You know, like
no, they want you to believe that when they're losing.
Yeah, I mean it's February. Don't panic, easy going. You know, it's February, and so I get to the point that I kind of take it that way. And if I have all these hockey guys saying hey, it's February, let's not get too ramped up here. Then you know what? I mean they know a heck of a lot more about it than I do. So I'm going with them.
But it's only because it's not convenient to right now, though, it feels
it
like
not,
about that.
Which very well could be right, you know. And that is not my personality. I mean, that's not the way I believe things work. But hockey's different. I know.
But is it really when David Poile the other day was asked in the midday show about, you know, hey, what do you think about all the people that say that the Preds are just waiting for the playoffs? And David goes, ooh, I don't like that, you know. If David feels the same way about it that you feel about it, then there probably is something there. And they tell you they're frustrated when they lose. Well, why would they? If they were just gearing up for the playoffs, if they just didn't care, they wouldn't be frustrated.
Every question would be answered with,
it's February.
It's February.
Yeah.
Chill, my brother. It's February.
I mean, I think that we need to see this team go out there. I mean, Pekka. You know, if we go back to what Pekka said yesterday on Smashville Live about the ups and downs, Pekka is telling you, I think Pekka lets you into kind of his heart about how he feels right now. And I think that it tells you that the it's February doesn't apply to Pekka. This is what he said yesterday on Smashville Live about the ups and the downs.
It seems like every team goes through those slumps and, you know, they get hot and then they have a little bit of bump on the road and don't play as well, and that's how it feels like. And I think that's it's also a dangerous thing because you don't want to feel comfortable where we are at the moment,
right.
And you know we still have 3-4 games in hand compared to a lot of the other Western teams. So right now, as of now, we're still in a really good shape and a really good position, but you know we need to win some games.
I mean, Becca's not telling you it's February. No, Becca's saying, hey, it's dangerous. Don't get comfortable now, baby.
And I love his comfort comment. I mean, he's exactly right. You know, you can't get comfortable in the fact that, hey, we're still in good shape even though we're not winning. Hey, don't get used to that. That doesn't last very long. And the truth is, I mean, we can see with these numbers around us, those of us just ahead of us and those of us just behind us, you know what? You go on another one of these 3-game losing streaks, they go on a 3-game win streak, you're behind them both.
Oh, no. If you have a bad week and they continue their good weeks,
tough.
Now you're in trouble. Now you're going to make, again, like, you're going to make the playoffs.
I'm not worried about that.
Contending that you won't make the playoffs. The question is, you know, if St. Louis is as hot as a firecracker and they pass you, and now you have to go to Calgary in the first round of the playoffs. Is that really what you want to do? Or would you rather play at home and get Dallas and see where you go from there?
Yeah, let's try that one.
Now, that being said, February 2 years ago, the Predators, or not 2 years ago, 3 years ago in February, they had the best February I think anybody's ever had. You know, that was when they had that long stretch where they got a point in every game. I want to say it was like 16 games or something crazy like that, where they got a point in every game and they were definitely in the playoffs. And then, you know, they end up going out to Anaheim and San Jose, and we remember what that was about. So whatever happened in February didn't have a huge effect in the Anaheim or San Jose series. It got you into the playoffs that year,
right,
comfortably, but it didn't have a huge effect there. So I can see both sides of the argument, and I'm kind of trying to figure out, okay, what's best for this team? Because what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, it's February, who cares? Yeah, February hockey, who cares? It doesn't matter. It's because I think that that's a convenient-to-you argument. Ask St. Louis if February hockey matters, because right now they'll tell you, oh, yes, we're kicking it into gear. We're right back into the playoff picture. We're going all the way, St. Louis. We got Craig Berube and his coach. We're good. We don't need to. And so they think that February hockey probably matters there.
Well, and so to some of those teams, I mean, February hockey might be the determining factor.
A lot of these teams are on the cusp of, am I a buyer? Am I a seller?
Yeah, you know, and I think we heard David last week talking about, you know, how he thought the market was going to shift and who's available and who's not, simply by, you know, a few wins here or a few losses there. Teams either become buyers or sellers, and consequently the market and who's in the market changes. So, you know, that's part of his problem when he's trying to decide if, in fact, he wants to make a deal. And if he, you know, who is it out there that he can make a deal with, and who can he make a deal for? I mean, those are all questions that could change, you know, literally on a night-by-night basis.
I got to tell you, I'm done caring about making a trade. That's going to sound crazy, but after reading that article yesterday where they analyzed all the true rentals that were traded at the deadline. Now, again, these are true rentals, and, you know, what if David trades for Mark Stone and then they sign Mark Stone to an extension? Then Stone doesn't technically go onto this list, but they were true rentals that were acquired for a first-round pick. And of the 29 times in the last 15 years that that's happened, two guys have won the Cup.
Yeah.
Just as many, two, have missed the playoffs.
I was shocked last night during our show when we asked the crowd.
Oh, if they wanted a rental?
They didn't want a rental.
No.
I mean, they were, no. You want a trade? No, we don't want a rental. We're good. We're good to go.
But I think
fans, was shocked by that.
I think fans are against rentals only because everybody values the next season a little bit more than they value the current season. You know, how many times, well, Jared, what are we going to do in 3 years when, I don't know. You know, burn that bridge when we get to it. We will worry about that then. But right now we have to worry about tonight's game against Montreal, because Predators game day is next. Preds and Canadiens, the Habs, live from Bridgestone Arena. Preds game day is next. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Live from the Game Nashville studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. It's game day in Smashville, brought to you by the Nexus Group and TJ Anderson Homes. What are Peter Laviolette's keys to the game? Who will be in and out of the lineup? It's time to break it all down on Jared and the GM on your flagship home of Smashville.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Jared and the GM, Predators game day on this Valentine's Day as the Preds take on the Montreal Canadiens. The Habs are in town. And, of course, Predators game day is brought to you by our great friends at the Nexus Group, your trusted provider and safe haven for business networking, offering secure, reliable connectivity. Call the Nexus Group today at 615-221-4200 and do not get catfished, Floyd Reese.
Unless it's on, yes.
Bingo. Tonight, 7 o'clock puck drop against the Montreal Canadiens. And, of course, Carey Price, big-time goalie. We all know about Shea Weber. And the Canadiens come into this game, you know, they're doing okay at 31-18-7, good for 69 points, and fourth in that incredibly difficult Atlantic division. We start with the coach's take, powered by TJ Anderson Holmes. TJ Anderson Homes. Buy or sell your home at tjandersonhomes.com. Peter LaViolette on those Canadiens.
They're a really good team. They're fast. They're competitive. They're a quick transition team. They got a lot of skill up front. They've got some defensemen from the back end who can either really bring offense or move their feet and bring the offense from a speed standpoint. But they bring it a couple different ways. They have a goaltender. Nobody needs to say anything about him. And the last time we played Montreal, I thought we played a really strong hockey game. We had come off of a tough game against Detroit where we weren't happy. And that's kind of what I'm talking about with our group. When internally we go after things and it's led by Roman and the leadership group, there's a chance that we move it in the right direction because of a previous performance or things that have happened in the past. And in that game in Montreal, I thought we played a really, really strong game, fast and competitive, and were consistent through the 60 minutes. And going into Montreal, which is a tough place to go into against a team that's having a real good year, we fought and battled and walked out with the 2 points.
So Peter is harping back on that moment earlier in the year where they lost a game at Detroit, and then they played a great game against Montreal. And it's almost like Peter's hoping that he's going to get the same result tonight. Again, the coach's take brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes. Buy or sell your home at tjandersonhomes.com. Your road to real estate begins at tjandersonhomes.com. Floyd, it looks like it's almost wishful thinking on LaViolette's part to drop the game in Detroit and then get the great game at Montreal, but that's what he wants.
That's what he's trying to simulate, which is fine. I mean, I'm all for it.
That's probably his message to the players,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they've lived it. They've done it. They've already – it's something they can relate to.
And I think the players probably do. I mean, they played arguably one of their better stretches this season was after they lost it to Detroit, when they went to Montreal and they beat them and played well, and then went and beat Toronto 4-0 the following Monday, and you were like, whoa,
yeah,
what's going on with the Preds here? And I think that's kind of what he's trying to rekindle right now at this point in the season. The injury report is good news because there's no news. Although Mika Salamaki and Zach Rinaldo remain on the IR, Rinaldo out for the year. I actually forgot that Rinaldo was on the team until I saw the scratches the other night, and I was like, oh, yeah, Rinaldo. I forgot. He was on the team. But they're on the IR, so obviously they won't play. Here, we do not know the line combinations. This morning was an optional morning skate. So I am very curious, as Crispy came on the show earlier and was kind of saying, hey, I need three other guys now. Crispy's not thinking about, you know, do I put two centers here? Do I have a left shot, a right shot? Crispy's saying, I need the next three
guys
to go after my three.
Whoever they are.
And so I wonder who Peter is going to use as those three. My gut tells me whoever Bonino is with tonight, that's the second line. Because I don't know what the second line is, or the third line, or the fourth. I don't even know what the lines are anymore. Like, which one's second, third? I mean, yeah. You can look at the ice time, and that'll probably give you a hint. But wherever Bonino goes out, that's the second. I would go Bonino, Sissons, and Boyle on the second line. That's just me. Okay, Floyd Reese, we take a look now at the standings. And the standings are not, you know, as kind to the Predators as they've been in a while. Yes, the Predators are in second place with 71 points. Winnipeg, however, has 75, but the Preds have played two more games. They've played three more games than Dallas and four more games than St. Louis. Dallas is 63 points, St. Louis 61. Now, the reason this is a big deal is because if St. Louis wins all four games that they have, that the Predators have already played, then the Predators are only 2 points ahead of St. Louis.
Right.
And the same can be said about Dallas. And if Winnipeg wins the two ahead of them, then they're 8 points ahead of you, and that's nothing you can control or anything like that. So technically, you're still in the hunt for first, but it doesn't feel very likely like you're going to be first. And you got to watch out for Dallas and St. Louis winning their makeup games, and all of a sudden, now they're nipping right at your heels. It doesn't look like it because St. Louis is 10 points behind you, but make no mistake, they are right on your rear end.
And this will be interesting because, we've heard all these guys say, well, it's February. Let's not get too panicky. Let's not get too excited. And all that's true. But if you're St. Louis and some of these other people,
they're pretty excited. We're 2 points behind Nashville.
They're thinking, okay, here we go. Now, when it gets to be March and April, maybe all of that will change too.
What's your gut tell you?
March and April?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll change.
Tonight right here, ESPN 102.5 The Game, the Preds and the Canadiens. Floyd Reese, what are you watching for?
To me, this, I don't care who we're playing tonight. Doesn't matter. They're nameless. This is all about the Preds. I think this is about the Preds playing their game, going out. And I'm not saying their hair has to be on fire. I don't think it's that. But I think we do need to play a solid game. And to be honest with
you. And a smart game.
To be honest with you, I don't even care what the score ends up. You know, it doesn't. If you go out there and if after the game you say, man, oh, man, we put that one together. You know, we did all the things that we've been talking about all this time. We did them well and we were effective and we were productive. You probably don't have to worry about the score because if you do all that, you're going to win anyway.
So my thing is on the same line with you. I'm going to go with the word Crispy used today, tenacious. I want to see the Preds with some bite. I want to see now, and a lot of that is offensively probably tonight because it just feels like I'm watching a team that's doing a lot of head hanging right now, and I'm kind of tired of that. Like, I want to see, like, some passionate hockey. I want to see smart hockey. I don't want dumb penalties that lead to goals. I want to see smart hockey. I want to see aggressive hockey. I want to see them play a good game, to your point. And you're right. You know what? If you win 3-2, but we walk out of this game and we feel like the Preds laid it out there tonight, fine.
Good to go.
If the Preds lose tonight, I'm not going to like it. But as long as it's not like it was the other night where it's like three shots on net in the third period the other night that Crispy was counting the last 5 minutes. Like, yeah. Come on. So I'm with you in that. So I'm going to go with tenacious. I want to see tenacious hockey tonight from the Predators. That's it for us. We are out of here. We are back tomorrow. We will have a breakdown of this game tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Darren McFarland and Robbie Stanley, whose head is as bald as the day is long now. He will join Darren for pregame next. Am I allowed to say that or not? Who knows? Jaren the GM, we're back tomorrow at 2.